WXR, Rossville, Chattanooga. A production of Whitfield Media Group. This is the fastest hour in radio. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105. Your home for NASCAR. Now, live from the Optimize You studio, here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome into the program. It is indeed time for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You here on Rock 105. Oh, take a big stretch. What a weekend it was, both in NASCAR, football, sports in general, even some exciting stuff happening in the world of baseball. It's just a good time to be alive. Fall threatened to show up on Sunday, but we're back to warm temperatures, and of course the racing is heating up on the track. What a race we were treated to, with Tyler Reddick becoming a madman late in the race, kind of stealing one from Ryan Blaney and shaking up the points, as we only have one more race before the final race of the year. One more chance for one of these drivers to become, or to get into the final four to become your 2024 champion. So there's tons to get to, and we're going to do that this hour, which is something Sean Whitfield and I do each and every Monday at 6 at Racing Talk Radio. I am Casey, and alongside me, ladies and gentlemen, the man that has me show up here every Monday at 6, none other than Sean Whitfield with Whitfield Media Group.
Hey, good evening. Happy to be here. Man, what a great weekend of NASCAR, great weekend of college football, NFL, great weather. Life is good.
You know what? You didn't mention baseball.
You know, I just hadn't been able to get into that.
Walk-off grand slam happened Friday night, which is just way cool. And I don't pay as much attention to baseball anymore, but as growing up, it was something I would watch. You know, Dad and I would watch it together, and I was really into baseball cards, and I knew all the players, and it's like, I don't care how old you get, we can all remember, like, whether it's T-ball or coach pitch or whatever level you got, you could always be in the backyard thinking, if I could just hit a home run in the World Series. And to do a grand slam to end the game for a former Brave, Freddie Freeman, I thought that was pretty cool. And I have no dog in the hunt when it comes to Dodgers or Yankees.
Well, when I was growing up, I played, 9 or 10 years, Little League ball. Was a huge baseball and football card collector. Knew, especially the Reds were my favorite. Oh, yeah. Johnny Bench, Joe Morgan, Dave Concepcion, and the list goes on.
The big red machine. Now, that those players are quite a bit older than the ones I cheered for, but that continues.
Well, see, those are the ones you were looking at going, man, those are the valuable cards. Those are the oldies, but goodies.
I was a Ken Griffey Jr. guy.
But yeah, I was more of the Ken Griffey. But, I grew up like that, but as an adult, ever since the baseball, Major League Baseball went on strike, and I know that's been a long time ago.
God, you sound like such an old person.
I know. I'm going to use,
In like the steroid era, that made you mad?
No, that didn't really bother me, is when they went on strike, because they were already making a ton of money, and they got greedy.
And they're making more now.
And wanted to make more.
They make more money than all the other professions.
And so ever since then,
sports-wise,
I haven't followed it a whole lot. Now, I do keep up with the Braves, and, I guess I would say I'm a Braves fan, but not a diehard one or anything, just because I don't pay a lot of attention to Major League Baseball. But no, I know this is a big deal right now, the Dodgers and the Yankees, for many, many reasons, but I haven't even watched one game yet.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's just, it seems, this time of year, you might not be a Halloween fan, but you start seeing the decorations and you just kind of know, man, it's that time of the year, falls around the corner kind of thing. That's the way it is for the World Series. I'll watch a few games, and just for the feel of it, and because it's something I do every year. But yes, it's just been that, along with football, with the weather. NASCAR and certainly not taking a back seat with the way these races have been going. Man, it's just it's a lot of fun to be a sports fan right now.
That it is. How did your Oklahoma State Cowboys do over the weekend?
Man, this is as frustrated as I've been as a fan in my life. Like, we are god awful. We lost another one.
So y'all just absolutely suck.
We are terrible. We may not go to a bowl game for the first time in like 19 years.
It's time to fire the coach.
Gundy's got a lifetime contract.
Well, it doesn't matter.
But we are
still fire him. It's just going to cost a lot of money to get out of it. They gave him a lifetime contract?
Yeah. He's our all-time winningest coach. What? He's taken
what
us to
were
heights.
They thinking?
He's taken us to heights that we've never seen before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially now.
Sean,
they're taking you to places you had never seen before.
We were in the Big 12 championship game last year, and we returned everybody.
How many national championships does he have?
Zero.
Okay.
However,
he's not a Nick Saban.
If the BCS didn't exist, we were supposed to play LSU in the national championship game in 2011, but ESPN put the kibosh on that.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Everybody in America was treated to the worst national championship game in the history of football. The 2011 Alabama versus LSU game was gross. Anyway, but, you know, whatever. It's one of those years that we're not very good, plus everybody's hurt, so it's just not even fun to watch because, like, not even the best players are out there. So, it's, you know what? It was bound to happen. Luckily, I know since you only pay attention to SEC football, luckily OU is god-awful, so that's kind of fun to watch too.
But Texas A&M's not.
No, A&M's good.
Yeah.
Beating LSU, that was a shock.
And I know you're a semi-LSU fan.
Yeah, LSU had them up at halftime.
They got a good whipping Saturday night.
Yeah.
38-23. So, but yeah, Oklahoma, they're not doing too well this year. Texas, man, did they almost get a whipping too.
Dude, who wants to see Vandy? Nobody. Nobody wants a piece of Vandy right now.
I was pulling for Vandy.
Yeah,
big time.
Because
I want to see Vandy do well.
You're that guy.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a team that, you know, has struggled for so many years. We even saw them in the top 25 last week in the AP poll.
Vandy's going to go to a bowl game this year,
and that'll be the first time in a while.
It's going to be the first time in a long time.
Yeah, so I was really pulling for Vandy. You know, like almost won. Lost to Texas 27-24.
Are we going
to
be doing this show when it's Tennessee-Georgia?
Yes.
Because next week is – or this weekend's Tennessee and I think Kentucky. Tennessee versus Kentucky. And then it's Tennessee-Georgia.
Yes. Our last show – I'm glad you brought that up. Our last show is Monday, November 18th.
What cupcake are you guys playing this coming week?
We're playing Florida.
The School of the Black – Florida, sneaky good game.
University of Florida.
World's largest outdoor cocktail party. That is a sneaky good game because all of a sudden Florida's a football team.
Yep. And then, you know, Tennessee's going to get a piece of Georgia here pretty soon. So that'll be happening in the near future. But you can get all of this and more each and every Saturday morning right here on Rock 105. Tune in to College Football Radio presented by Medicare Misty. And you can join myself and Jim Gumm. Jim Gumm is our Chattanooga expert for SEC football, and it's a fun and great show, and encourage you to check it out. You can also listen to us in podcast. If you've missed any episode, just go to your favorite podcast platform and search College Football Radio Download.
Real quick before we talk NASCAR, since you host a show about college football, I'm going to need you to tell me who was the rushing leader in the Texas and Vanderbilt game.
I don't have my notes.
You can see it right there. Right, last name's Wisner. I just need you to.
Yeah.
I need you to enunciate that front name, the first name for me.
No, I'm going to. He's going to be like SG Van Gisenberger or whatever we say in NASCAR.
SVG for Shane Van Gisenberger.
Yeah, it's just like the quarterback for Tennessee.
Quintravion, Sean. That's Quintravion.
How do you say the quarterback's name for Tennessee?
Nico.
Yeah, but it's it's a lot more than just Nico.
That's his last name, I thought, is a lot. I don't know. Yeah. That's not my team. You know, Giannis.
You should make
Giannis
them your team.
Antetokounmpo is the.
You should be keeping up with them. Then that way on Monday morning, you can come in and have a very educated conversation with your boss about Tennessee football.
I can absolutely talk Tennessee football. That's not an issue at all. I'm torn because I want Tennessee to do good. It's more fun around here when the teams are good. You know, whether you like Georgia or Tennessee or Alabama, it's fun when they're all good, right? Everybody just it's more to look forward to. I like Tennessee. They at least wear orange, so they got that going for them. however, you know, their head coach, it's tough to cheer for.
Have you noticed that about this time of the year, especially right now, that Tennessee fans kind of get a little cocky and arrogant?
Where did Tennessee's head coach play football?
I don't know.
Okay, see, that you can't host
You know, listen, that doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know where he went to high school either. I don't even know where dinner this time last week.
He won a national championship for OU. Josh Heupel, playing quarterback.
He did.
Yeah. How do you not know this? Oh, my. Okay. Never mind. We should talk NASCAR now. No, I am.
You know, I am cheering.
Go Big Orange.
Hey, that's why I say I'm not the SEC expert. Jim Gum is.
Go Big Orange, because when they play well, my Mondays at work go a lot better.
Is that the way it is?
Because my boss, Bobby Winnie, is about as avid as a Tennessee fan. I mean, he walks the line of healthy and unhealthy fandom. He is right there.
Yeah, because he even goes to every basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he go to baseball games, too?
He didn't go to all the baseball games, but yeah, he goes to some.
Man.
Yeah, he actually cares. He knew who Josh Heupel played for in college.
Man. That's because he's a Tennessee
fan. Do you know who Kirby Smart played for in college?
Yeah, University of Georgia.
Oh, my God.
What? Who did he play for?
Kirby Smart?
Yeah.
He played.
See, you don't even know. You're asking me a question that you don't even know. Yeah, he played for Georgia.
He did play for Georgia.
Yeah, see? You're throwing me off.
The thing is you had to work. You had to think about it for a minute.
No, you were trying to confuse me. See, I'm still in my freshman year of SEC college football knowledge. I don't have quite the knowledge that I have for SEC football that I have for NASCAR. I don't have as many years, and I've not graduated yet.
still a freshman.
Yeah, I'm still a freshman. So, but hey, there was a big race over the weekend, Homestead, Miami. Outstanding finish. I would say it's one of the better finishes we've had so far in 2024. I would also say that there should be a petition to start to bring Homestead back as the last race of the year, because Phoenix can't put on the kind of finish that we saw yesterday. I would also be in favor of having two races a year at Phoenix, or excuse me, Homestead.
Are you sure this is not just a little bit of recency bias? Because we did. We had a great race. So eight drivers are eligible to be your champion this year. Six of the drivers led 250 of the 280 something laps. It was basically contenders up front all day. It looked like Blaney was going to run away with it, and then Tyler Reddick out of nowhere storms to the front. It was a very exciting last 15 minutes. It reminded me of a restrictor plate race. Like, it's one of those you got to watch and pace at the same time. You got to pace the room as you watch the screen. But is it a little bit of a recency bias that you want Homestead, because this does not always happen at Homestead.
I just thought
Homestead has never traditionally been one of those tracks.
I just thought it was a great race from start to finish. It was 33 lead changes among 11 drivers. NASCAR reported today there was more than 6,000 passes during green flag conditions at Homestead, nearly twice as many as any previous race at Homestead.
Well, you could tell this race mattered. There were consequences on the line. We always know that sense of urgency leads the guys to, well, I mean, listen, it led Tyler Reddick. It reminds you of like the movies when people are driving and all of a sudden they randomly just shift and go faster. Like, why wouldn't they be doing that the whole time? That's kind of what it looked like with Tyler. Like, he put it into overdrive.
Here is a new fact that I wanted to share. There is a chance. Let me back up for just a moment. You remember we were talking here a couple of weeks ago that we could see all 400 cars?
Yeah.
being in the Final Four? Well, show you how much NASCAR can change so quickly. We've seen it countless times. There is a chance that none of the Hendrick cars are going to make the Final Four at Phoenix, which would be a very, very surprising outcome, because we'll get into the standings here in just a moment. Things have not gone so well for Hendrick.
Yes, definitely a shakeup in the points, and you talk about must win. Several drivers must win coming this weekend.
All right, we are presented to you by Optimize U. You can find them online at OptimizeUChattanooga.com. We want to thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your Monday. You can also find us online at RacingTalkRadio.com. And if you miss any portion of today's episode or any past episodes, you can listen to us at your favorite podcast platform. Just search Racing Talk Radio, download at your favorite podcast platform. More NASCAR straight ahead. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
We'll be back faster than the last lap at Talladega. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Listen up, Chattanooga. Mandy Livingston, General Manager for Optimize U. Have you been feeling like you aren't the man or woman you used to be? Have you been told it's normal and comes with age? Well, I'm here to put that talk to rest. At Optimize U, we are a hormone replacement center that specializes in both men and women's hormones. We believe that normal is not optimal. Find us online at OptimizeUCenters.com.
This is Blake Watson with Epic Realty. Interest rates are coming down and housing inventory is up, so you have more choices for your next home in the Chattanooga and Northwest Georgia area. As your local realtor, I offer experience, expertise, negotiation skills, and knowledge of Chattanooga real estate. I help you get the home you want and guide you through the process of selling and buying your house. Visit athomechattanooga.com or just search me online. Blake Watson with Epic Realty.
NASCAR is cranking up, and Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr will get you right in the middle of it. Tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize U on Rock 105, a production of Whitfield Media Group.
Join Ed Jones and Clint Powell each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Vital Health Radio, presented by Vascular Institute and Vein Clinic on 98.1 The Lake. It's a radio show about living a healthy life, a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
More NASCAR ahead with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Now, back to the show. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize U here on Rock 105. Sean Whitfield, in case you're each and every Monday at 6, getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR news and information. Today, recapping the race at Homestead, Miami. Sean Whitfield already calling for two races a year and to make it the final race of the year. That's how good it was as Tyler Reddick storms his way to victory. And really, now we look at the standings, we look at the schedule coming up, there is one race left to go for the guys to race their way in to the Final Four. Martinsville's coming up this Sunday, November 3rd. After Martinsville, the Final Four drivers, the top four in the standings, go to Phoenix on November 10th for the Final Four, literally the final race that will decide your 2024 champion. So there you have it, Martinsville coming up this Sunday. We are going on the Big Boy Network, I believe, Sean. So all the races have been easy to find, which is nice. But Martinsville, the Xfinity 500, coming up Sunday, November 3rd. So I tell you what, you make a race really important. You put it all on the line. And then let's go ahead and go to a racetrack that's known to be tough on tempers and brakes. So no telling what's going to happen coming up this weekend.
And we've seen it like that before. Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott are two drivers that come to my mind first that had a little bit of that type of situation at Martinsville, what, 2 years ago?
It always seems like, man, and you know what? We got to hand it to NASCAR for as many goofy decisions as they've made. I feel like they've really kind of hit a home run with the schedule. And I know you'd like to end at Homestead and whatever, but it seems like each round there's a race or two that kind of makes you go, oh boy. And so we just had a race at Homestead with an awesome finish. We're about to get to the standings, but some big name drivers with big name teams kind of on the outside looking in. And now we're going to a place that you've basically got to speed up, slow down, speed up, slow down, speed up, slow, and do it a bunch and move some people out of the way and make some decisions late in the race. So, I mean, seasons are going to be won and lost at the very end of this thing, and it's going to be good.
Tyler Reddick, let's dive right into the Straight Talk Wireless 400. Tyler Reddick got the big win, and he went from third to first on the last lap to get the win secured and moves him on to the championship four. He started on the pole, won a stage, and led a race high of 97 laps. The victory was the eighth of Reddick's career, and all eight have come at different tracks. The driver that came in second was Ryan Blaney, and he posted his third top 10 finish in 10 races at Homestead Miami Speedway. Ryan Blaney, it is his 16th top 10 finish in 2024. Denny Hamlin came in third. He posted his 13th top 10 finish in 20 races at Homestead Miami. Moving along into the rest of the results, Christopher Bell came in fourth. Chase Elliott came in fifth. All of the top five drivers were playoff drivers. Sixth spot was William Byron, seventh Alex Bowman, eighth A.J. Allmendinger, ninth Carson Hocevar, and 10th Ryan Priest.
And so top six drivers, all playoff drivers. Kyle Larson, another playoff driver, finished in 13th. And you've got to go all the way to the bottom, I believe, to find the final finishing playoff driver. Who was that, Sean? Scroll down to the... Who was the guy that had a really bad day? Joey Logano, 26th spot. Romp, romp. Not great for Joey, but you know what? He'll be all right. I tell you the thing that kind of sticks out is the top four, how you've got three Toyota drivers and one Ford, followed by five Chevys in a row. So obvious that the other manufacturers had a little something working.
Again, there was six caution flags for 30 laps and 33 lead changes among 11 drivers. So this was the conclusion of race number 34, 267 lap race, 400.5 miles. And like I said earlier, I'd love to see this on the schedule two times in the future. We'll just have to wait and see. And of course, one advantage of possibly that happening is this is a track that is owned by NASCAR. And NASCAR always enjoys hosting races at their own tracks.
Well, you know, out of all those stats we just talked about, Tyler Reddick having eight wins and at eight different tracks, I guess, I don't know. If you'd have told me, hey, how many races has Tyler Reddick won? I'd go, four. You know, it's just one of those that as time goes on, people accumulate more. He's running for the 45 team, which is, we all know, one of 23XI Racing. But I don't know. I was shocked. It's obviously Tyler Reddick, guy that's got some talent. And now, Sean, driving for a team that is kind of at odds, or at least on the other side of a lawsuit with NASCAR, and now guaranteed to be one of the four guys that may get to hoist the NASCAR trophy at the end of the year.
I wonder how many NASCAR officials or senior management of NASCAR came down to Victory Lane yesterday afternoon and shook Michael Jordan's hand and shook Denny Hamlin's hand and congratulated him.
You think they got any texts from the France family? Hey, good run. Way to stay after it.
I sort of doubt it. However, I hope that they could have the attitude is what happens off the track stays off the track. For example, a pending lawsuit and, you know, what's happening on the track is still what continues to go on in the garage area.
Well, you do, you know, I think the old line, it's just business, right? But people forget that there are people that own and run businesses, and when you're affecting someone's business and therefore their money or their ability to pay other employees and the future of that business, it can feel awful personal. So knowing Jordan, well, not personally, but knowing the competitor he is, he had to absolutely love the fact that the 45 won that race, won it the way he did, and now conspiracy theorist, get your pens and paper ready, because when we get to Phoenix, there's going to be all sorts of reasons to think NASCAR doesn't want the 45 in Victory Lane.
All right, let's move along into the driver's standings after the race at Homestead, Miami. We got Christopher Bell leading the point standings right now, 22 points ahead of second place William Byron. Third is Kyle Larson. Fourth, Tyler Reddick. And fifth, Denny Hamlin. None of the top five are Hendrick Motorsports cars.
In the sixth spot, Ryan Blaney. Seventh, Joey Logano. Eighth, Chase Elliott. Now, because Joey won 2 weeks ago, he's in, right, Sean?
That is correct.
So Joey's in. Christopher Bell, based on points, unless his car blows up on lap one at Martinsville, he's in. And and we know Tyler Reddick is in. So really, it looks like it's going to end up being a race for the final place, which is going to right now has William Byron and Chase Elliott on the outside looking in.
I was mistaken. William Byron is a Hendrick car, and he's in second.
But he's not guaranteed a spot in the playoff.
That is correct. But I'm talking about as of the way the top five are right now.
Yes.
What do you think the chances are that it's going to be a win and you're in situation at Martinsville? As far as do you think we'll have a playoff driver that'll win his way in? Or do you think we'll fill those two positions in by points?
You know, I think you're going to have...
What's your gut?
Christopher Bell is going to get in on points, whether or not he... I mean, if he wins or not. I think Bell is in, period. So, and then obviously you've got Reddick and Logano in. So that leaves that fourth spot. Man, here's the thing. This is, I think for one of the guys to, you know, to win, you would say that's probably, you know, the stats don't point to that. It would be unlikely. However, Sean, kind of like this week, this is the time of year we sit a lot of the playoff drivers up front, partially because some of the guys that aren't driving for anything give them a little extra room when they're around them. No one wants to be the guy that wrecks a guy that ruins his season. So I think it's very likely. So I'll make my prediction later, but I'm you know what? I'm team chaos. That's what I am.
Team chaos.
This is going to be team chaos.
When I look at the standings, I think Kyle Larson, has six wins.
How is he not going to make it? Right?
Has such a successful season, and there is that possibility he may not make it in.
That to win six races and to go home without a trophy, of course, happened to Harvick when he had like nine wins that year.
Oh, yeah.
It happens.
All right, it is time for us to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Stuart Haas Racing. We're going to hear a short audio clip from Tony Stewart talking about how difficult it was to make the decision that he made to end up closing Stuart Haas Racing at the end of the NASCAR season and sort of give you his feeling of how he sees things. So we'll get into that and more as we continue, and we are presented to you by Optimize You. More NASCAR straight ahead. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
We'll be back quicker than Sean can drink another Monster Energy. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Are you looking to take control of your health and live your best life? Then this is the podcast for you. Join Josh Porter and Mandy Livingston as they share cutting-edge research, practical tips, and inspiring stories to help you optimize your physical, mental, and emotional health. From nutrition and exercise to hormone optimization, we cover it all. So tune in to Optimize Health and start empowering your health one episode at a time. You can find Optimize Health at your favorite podcast platforms or online at OptimizeHealthNow.com. Go to your favorite podcast platform and search Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You.
Join Sean Whitfield, Matt Davis, and Darren Johnson for a podcast about fitness, health, and bodybuilding.
We feature the best in fitness and bodybuilding right here in Chattanooga.
You can expect workout advice and fitness tips from two of the best fitness and bodybuilding trainers in Chattanooga.
Many great guests and inspiring conversations.
A lot of laughs and entertainment to go along with it.
Subscribe and follow Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You, today.
Vector Security can create you a home automation solution that will give you the convenience and peace of mind of being able to control your security system, lights, locks, video, thermostat, and more, all from your Vector Security app.
Vector Security provides professional alarm and security system monitoring to ensure your home is well protected against all threats.
Vector Security has 24/7 expert security monitoring, lifetime satisfaction guarantee, complete home automation, and is 100% wireless.
Choose Vector Security. Find them online at vectorsecurity.com.
Do you love Southeastern College football? If so, we've got the show for you. It's College Football Radio, presented by Medicare Misty on Rock 105 and 103.7 KISS FM. SEC at its best. Join us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on Rock 105 and 103.7 KISS FM. Nothing but the best in SEC football talk and information. That's College Football Radio, presented by Medicare Misty on Rock 105 and 103.7 KISS FM. Production from the Whitfield Media Group.
At Silverdale Baptist Church, we exist to lead people into an authentic relationship with Christ so they will worship God, grow in their faith, and then serve the Lord. Learn more about us and discover a campus and service time that fits you best at SilverdaleBC.com.
This is Blake Watson with Epic Realty. Interest rates are coming down and housing inventory is up. As your local realtor in Chattanooga and Northwest Georgia, I can help you navigate today's market. Visit athomechattanooga.com. Blake Watson with Epic Realty.
Listen up, Chattanooga. We've got a radio show that's just for you.
On the Move Radio, presented by Medicare Misty on 98.1 The Lake, each Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
We're a radio show that's all about Chattanooga and the Tennessee Valley.
Join Sean Whitfield, Amy Morrow, and Barry Quarter as we discuss government, events, entertainment, lifestyle, and so much more.
For past shows, check out onthemoveradio.com.
A production of Whitfield Media Group.
This is the fastest hour in radio with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio. Right here on Rock 105, and always, Sean, presented by our buddies over at Optimize You. You know, normal is not optimal, and I guess you would say that our show is very not optimal because we're certainly not normal. Go over there to Optimize You, and now is the time, Sean. Go and see Josh and the whole gang. They can sit you down, give you a bunch of options, run some tests, and basically just get you back to feeling the way you feel when you're at your best. And isn't that really what we all want? They're going to make you feel like Tyler Reddick the last 15 minutes of this NASCAR race. Just absolutely unstoppable. So go check out our friends over at Optimize You today. Recapping the race from Homestead Miami Speedway, the Straight Talk Wireless that saw Tyler Reddick get what a big win. Not only a playoff win, but a win that guarantees him a spot in the final race of the season, which is coming up in 2 weeks, and the last race of the third round, if that makes sense, the last race of the round of eight coming up this weekend at Martinsville. And that is going to be, Sean, the Xfinity 500 coming up Sunday at 2 o'clock. At the conclusion of that race, the top four in the points will move on, except Joey Logano, who is guaranteed in because of his win last week, and Tyler Reddick because of his win this week. So, honestly, they could be points men number 7 and 8. It's not going to matter. They've moved on, so there'll be two drivers left unless someone else was able to race their way in coming into Martinsville. So basically, a lot is on the line at a racetrack that makes a lot of guys go red line with temper.
And when you look at how this is sort of coming to a crazy ending, just think, week before last, Joey Logano was out of it completely. And then the next thing you know, he's a contender. So when you throw that thought into the mix, it really looks like a typical crazy NASCAR ending.
I mean, that really is. That's one of those things that you don't know that you'll ever see again. For him to be the first guy out and for the first guy in to screw up just enough to make him out and move him in and then get a win, like that's like what movies are written about. But then even in the movie, you would go, well, that was kind of cheesy. That would never happen. Mm-hmm. And Joey Logano has continued to prove that he's really good in these elimination style things. And now he's going to be one of the final four going after his third championship. What do you know?
All right. I want to talk for just a moment about Tony Stewart and the Stewart Haas shutdown. And Tony Stewart has expressed, it's more bitter than sweet. I want you to hear this couple of minute audio clip from Tony Stewart and then tell me what you think. Let's hear from Tony.
I took a lot of criticism at the beginning of the year because of this. And what people don't realize is I can sit there and show you a list of about 12 other teams that never made it 12 consecutive years in the sport of NASCAR. It's not because we just threw our hands up and said, well, we just don't want to do this anymore. There were a lot of reasons why we had to do this. And it's not fun. It's not fun when you have so many friendships inside that building at SHR in Kannapolis. And, you know, literally, I know there were people that I saw on Monday after Talladega that I will most likely never, ever get a chance to see again. And that really hurts because it's really about the people. But, you know, through this whole year, I mean, the reason we did the announcement early in the season was to try to take care of all of our people. I got so blamed for people losing their jobs. Well, there's companies left and right that shut down. Look at COVID, how many people had to shut down. Nobody was screaming about how employees, you know, weren't taken care of and what it did to their families. We did what we did to take care of our people, and we created great severance packages for them to take care of them and their families. The announcement was to give all these guys opportunity throughout the season to secure new jobs for next year. And it was really successful. I would say over 80% of the employees at SHR have found homes for next year. And that was the goal, was to give them enough time before what we would consider typical silly season in the sport to let these guys find positions. So I feel like we've done everything we can to take care of our people. I feel like the bashing I got online and in social media was very unjust through the process. It's easy to sit on your ass on a chair or on your couch in your mom's house and sit there and tell us how everything of how we're doing it wrong, but nobody can seem to sit there and come in on Monday morning and tell us how to do it right. So I feel like our group did a great job of taking care of our people the best that we could, and with the right intentions and with the attitude of our employees came first. And that's what the focus has been this year, is making sure that we do everything to take care of our employees in a season that's a transition year for everybody.
So there you hear it, Tony Stewart talking about, basically the shutting down of Stewart Haas Racing. Listen, Tony Stewart's a lot of things, but I've never considered him fake. Like, I don't. All that sounds very genuine, obviously. Hurt by a lot of the comments that people said about him costing people jobs. But you know what? The simple fact of the matter is, if the numbers aren't there to make a business viable, businesses close, and it does happen. It's just this one's a lot higher profile, and you can say, you know, everyone's got theories and stuff. I would say, Tony, there were lots of people complaining about COVID and shutting down businesses. So did you just stick your head in a hole for a year? But no, it's a sad fact that if a business closes, and whether it has to close or just the owners decide to close it, there are things that, like this, that happen. And I really think they handled about as good as you could.
When I reflect back on how Tony has handled things up until now, I think he's done a great job. I know that must have been a very difficult decision for him and Gene Haas back when the decision was made. And one thing that I've learned in all my years of business is you don't know everybody's behind the scenes situation. There could be many things that was the reason for this closing that none of us know, have never became public. And if we knew, we'd go, okay, yeah, I get it. But that's a private matter. It's a private business. It's not everything's going to be public and shouldn't be. I think he handled it in a good way under the circumstances. We all have clearly seen that they lost some of their key sponsors. They lost Kevin Harvick, one of their key drivers. And when you lose a sponsor like Anheuser-Busch and what was the baking company? My mind's gone blank.
The baking company?
Bacon.
Oh, the bacon.
Smithfield.
Yeah, Smithfield.
Smithfield was another primary sponsor, as well as there's probably some others. When you lose that kind of revenue and then you're employing 400 plus people. And we have also seen that the priorities in Tony Stewart's life has changed. He's now married. He's now involved in NHRA racing. Him and his wife both are involved in NHRA racing. So when you start adding up all the pieces of the puzzle and then all the pieces of the puzzle that you don't know about, I think he's done very well in how it's been handled, and he has given all his people plenty of time, and he made this announcement early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, people that have run a business, and granted I haven't, but I'm, you know, friends with people that have, you know, it's incredibly expensive to run, and I would say most NASCAR teams out there are one or two sponsors away from being in an absolute world of hurt. Everything in business is tentative.
It's kind of like somebody living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, things are good until they're not, you know, and it's becoming increasingly tough to land sponsors, to get the same amount of dollars for sponsors. Advertising as a whole has just become a much more splintered economy. Here's a guy that's like, we did it our best and we did it for a long time, but we had to close it down. You hate it that he got so much online hate, but this, and granted, we're not rich and famous. Well, we're not famous. You're rich.
I thought we were more famous than we were rich.
I'm definitely more famous than I am rich, and I'm not famous. But it cracks me up when celebrities complain about the hate they're getting online. Dude, don't look at your phone. I mean, that, you know what? I could be getting cussed out nine ways from Sunday right now on all social media outlets. I would have no idea. But it's always funny. You can tell it really hurts these guys. They're like, man, they're really giving it to me online and all the things people are saying on social media. What do you care? You're Tony Stewart. But anyway,
yeah,
I digress.
Yeah. It's a difficult, difficult thing that people are having to go through, but it is the business, and I can only imagine, especially for your smaller teams that are not wealthy like a Rick Hendrick or a Roger Penske, the amount of stress and anxiety that's on their shoulders at the end of a sponsor's contract, because there is so much on the line, and it's so tough gaining sponsorships today. You figure they're not only competing against all the other teams in the sport, but usually a company that's involved in and interested in sports marketing, you're competing against all other sports too. And so the competition is even a lot more severe. And then everybody that's a sponsor is looking for the best deal. So you've got to be willing to step up and provide a sponsor with all that added value. And if you're a race team that doesn't have a driver that's a top five or a top 10 caliber driver, then it's even tougher. It's even a lot more difficult to secure sponsors and keep the ones you got.
And you can do everything right and still lose a sponsorship because, you know what, that Fortune 500 company elected a new board, or they hired on with a new advertising agency, and they're shifting dollars away from sports marketing. I mean, I still go back to years ago, Sean. You remember Johnny Benson, right?
Oh, yeah.
In the truck series.
Valvoline driver.
Great truck series driver. His last year in the truck series, he didn't want it to be his last year, but his last year in the truck series, he won the truck championship. Basically did exactly what you want to do. Had the year you want to have when you're competing in one of these things.
Yeah.
And he lost his sponsorship and wasn't able to run any. So literally, he's holding the big trophy, getting as much time for the sponsor as he can, fulfilling every obligation he possibly could have had. Like, I just won you the championship. Your logo is going to be all over anytime someone talks about champion or shows my picture as champion. Still loses a sponsorship. Still can't race anymore. So it is a business, and it's, you know what?
And
that's tough.
And to
be at the top level with that many teams. Yeah.
And to add to the difficulties is back in the day, you could go secure a sponsor and that was for the whole year. Now, when you go to secure a sponsor, it's not unusual that it's a 5-race deal, a 6-race deal, 8-race deal, or primary on so many races and an associate on another. It may be a 2 or 3 year deal, but the number of races they're running per year is far less, which means the dollar amount is far less. And that's when you think about everything we just discussed, I have to think that most of these team owners, privately to themselves, are going and cheering for Michael Jordan in this battle against NASCAR.
Just someone to stick it to the man.
Because that's the only way that a change is going to happen for these owners with NASCAR, is it's going to take somebody like a Michael Jordan. And if I'm not mistaken, Michael Jordan is worth a little over $2 billion the last time I looked.
He got money.
So it's going to take somebody with a big name, somebody that is powerful in the sports world, and somebody that's got plenty of money, that has got the money to go up and fight the war. And so I hope that there is some good to come from this lawsuit that is in the favor of these owners, to where they have more than just the assets of their buildings and their equipment, because that is what we've had in the past for many years. However, the charters have been there, and that's added a great deal, no question about it, to the value of these teams. But I would like to see these teams have a little more financial security.
Yeah, I think overall it's best, but the piece of the pie is only so big. Everybody wants their piece to be as big as it, and that goes for NASCAR. I mean, they're the one going, hey, we own the whole thing. But billionaires fighting billionaires.
Maybe one day we'll know what that's like.
I just want some sort of alien on mine. That's all.
All right. We want to thank you so much again for joining us. If you miss any portion of today's broadcast, you can find us at your favorite podcast platform as of tomorrow morning. Just search Racing Talk Radio Download. And we are presented to you again from Optimize U. You can find them online at OptimizeUChattanooga.com. More NASCAR straight ahead. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Hey, Chattanooga, Josh Porter here for Optimize U, Chattanooga's number one clinic for both men and women's hormone replacement. Are you suffering from fatigue, low libido, or just not feeling yourself? We are the answer you have been looking for. My team and I are here to help you become yourself again. So find us online at OptimizeYouCenters.com.
Hi, I'm Sean Whitfield.
And I'm Blake Watson. Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for Your Home Radio on 98.1 The Lake.
Featuring a variety of topics, all related to your home.
A production of Whitfield Media Group.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
Every child deserves a chance for a healthy, happy life. But when pediatric cancer strikes, it leaves a lasting impact on not only the diagnosed child, but their parents and siblings too. The Austin Hatcher Foundation for Pediatric Cancer is here to erase the effects of childhood cancer and empower families to thrive during and after a cancer journey. Through a variety of support programs such as grief groups, counseling services, art and music therapy, and more, we provide comprehensive, no-cost services and care to children and their families. Join us in making a difference. Visit HatcherFoundation.org to learn more and get involved.
It's football time in the SEC. Join us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on Rock 105 and 103.7 KISS FM. College Football Radio, presented by Medicare Misty on Rock 105 and 103.7 KISS FM. A production from the Whitfield Media Group.
This is Blake Watson with Epic Realty. Interest rates are coming down and housing inventory is up. As your local realtor in Chattanooga and Northwest Georgia, I can help you navigate today's market. Visit athomechattanooga.com. Blake Watson with Epic Realty.
Buckle up and hang on with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 105, presented by our buddies at Optimize You. And you can find us each and every Monday at 6 o'clock, getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR news and info. And I tell you what, there's been tons of news, but not a lot of NASCAR left. Only 2 weeks to go. The final race in the round of eights coming up this Sunday at Martinsville. And then we head to Phoenix for the final four, the final race of the year, to crown your 2024 champion. Now, Sean, normally, well, I say normally, in the past, it really depends on when the last race of the year is, but seeing that we're 2 weeks from the last race of the year, we're going to come back and have a recap show. We got to come back that Monday, and I have to explain how Joey Logano just became your third-time champion, right? And then how many more shows are we going to do? Well, I'm trying to give people, everyone's looking at their phones, getting ready to put it in their calendar. When does the show end this year? We're going up until when?
November 18th.
November 18th. So I'll still get to give everyone my my Thanksgiving plans and recipes and all the things we normally
do. Yeah, the last race is Sunday the 10th, so we'll be back on the 11th to, you know, talk about that, and then we'll have one more show to talk about all kinds.
Are you going to hand out the Shawnees on that show?
Yeah, I had thought about that. I was looking through some old notes and emails.
Some old Shawnees?
Yeah, trying to figure out all the different classes. Because we've done those several different times through the years. But we may even have Alex Hayden join us for a brief segment.
Yeah.
To get his remarks of put a bow on the season, and then also hear what he thinks about 2025. And I would say at that time, we will hopefully know more about the NASCAR antitrust lawsuit. It's anybody's guess how long that's going to last. But I would like to think that it's in NASCAR's best interest that they would want to handle this sooner than later.
Do you think maybe this is kind of an off season, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing? Because if you handle it in the off season, you don't have to face the media that coming next week at the track. It's kind of like how a lot of times you'll do if there's a big story that you need to get out that you don't want everyone talking about a lot, you release it Friday at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so it's old news by the time Monday rolls around.
Yeah. There could be some truth to that, but this situation in this news is a little different because you've got Michael Jordan. How would you classify him? Would you classify him as either the most well-known professional athlete in the country or world, or would you say he's at least in the top five?
Top five, easy.
Top five?
I mean, I think he is probably the best-known American athlete of all time.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming there's some soccer player we don't know about.
I mean, when
some
you see...
F1 guy.
When you see the Nike Air Jordan logo... It's on football uniforms.
When you're an athlete,
it's everywhere.
And other people, not even in your sport, wear your logo.
Yeah.
That, I mean, when they make a movie about not only, I mean, there's been plenty of things about Jordan, but literally they make a movie just about his merchandising deal.
Yeah.
I mean, with like major stars. Like he's the GOAT, as they say, period. Yeah.
NASCAR did make comment over the last few days. I'm not sure if this was over the weekend or last week, but NASCAR says it plans to run in 2025 with 32 charter teams instead of 36 like this year. That will be 8 open cars instead of 4 in its old 40-car field. 2311 in front row currently have 2 charters apiece that they have yet to sign for. So NASCAR has taken in consideration their 4 charters, and they have already made the decision in the plans, business plans for 2025, there will be 32 charter teams.
32. So each week, essentially, 8 teams qualify without a charter. So you don't have to have a charter.
The payday is just extremely different if you're not.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, you know, when it comes into antitrust, they're going to say, well, you can't make it mandatory to compete. Kind of like, you know, you've got to buy a lottery ticket to win, and you can't do that if it's a non-lottery state. NASCAR is going to say, you don't have to have one of these to compete. You can still, every week there's guys that get out here and try to race.
Yeah.
But they're going to say, to be legit, yeah, you do. You don't, but you do.
And so, I don't know. There's still a lot to come out, a lot unknown. I think Michael Jordan is the type businessman. He is going to stick to his guns. He's going to follow this through no matter what he has to go through, no matter what it's going to cost. And he has the financial ability and the name to back every bit of it up. So... there's nobody better that could go to battle except for, well, I was going to say Roger Penske, because I think Roger Penske's worth about $8 billion. But Roger Penske doesn't have the name and status that Michael Jordan does. Michael Jordan's going to get the national and international media attention when no other team owner in the sport could possibly get.
And that's a way more compelling story when you have the most popular athlete of all time going up against the big... you know, machine of NASCAR. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to care that a titan of industry like Roger Penske, which it's the good old boy network, and he's one of the good old boys. Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see, but I am with you, and I bet there's even part of Rick Hendrick and Penske and Joe Gibbs and all these guys. I mean, they'll never say it out loud, mm-hmm. but there's even part of them that go, you know what? Yeah, I kind of hope they do win, because there needs to be change, mm-hmm. but let him spend his money to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if I was a team owner, I'd privately be going, Michael, get him. I'm cheering you all the way. But I would not go public with that. I would not want to have NASCAR looking at me and that possibly hurting me down the road.
It all comes down to discovery. The minute nothing happens in a lawsuit until one side demands discovery, and then all the laundry's about to come out, and then it starts the negotiation.
You know, that's a well stated fact there.
Unfortunately, I've learned that from experience, but hey.
The hard way.
Yeah, the not fun way.
All right. We are headed to Martinsville Speedway this Sunday, 2 p.m. on NBC.
Sean Whitfield, Denny Hamlin gets the win, and you have two members of an opposing lawsuit into the fight. There'll be a 50% chance NASCAR's going to be really unhappy at the end of the race.
That would be the perfect storyline. But I'm going to go with Martin Truex Jr. this weekend.
Well, why?
He's got two more.
Anything.
Yeah, but, you know, I want to see Martin go out on top.
He needs to. Well, Martin at Martinsville does have a ring to it.
See, it all goes together. All right. Well, we want to thank all of you out there for joining us and making us a part of your Monday. And, of course, we are presented to you by Optimize You. If you're experiencing low energy, no sex drive, weight gain, muscle loss, irritability, or depression, it may be because your hormones are not optimal. They're not in balance. And Optimize You can take care of all of that for you. So check them out. OptimizeYouChattanooga.com. We'll be back here next Monday, 6 p.m. right here on Chattanooga's Rock Station, Rock 105, keeping you up to date with all things NASCAR on and off the racetrack. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield, and thank you for listening. Across a young man's room, she said, I'm ready. This has been the fastest hour in radio. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105, your home for NASCAR. Join Casey Orr and Sean Woodfield each Monday at 6 p.m. on Rock 105. Check out our website and for past shows, racingtalkradio.com. This has been a production of the Whitfield Media Group.